some people said to me, maybe we need to have a basic understanding, foundation for understanding what I just said. For example, when you say seeing, see visible object. So it's a little bit higher level. So if without understanding about Nama, Rupa, how can we understand what Ajahn said? So,
that's why the first stage of understanding has to be understanding how much ignorance one has. This is the first step. Understanding how much ignorance, not understand anything at all in truth. It depends on whether that person would like to listen, to understand, or just to ignore is useless for that person. But the person who knows that, oh, I don't understand the truth, ignorance, not me, and so on, and so many ignorance from moment to moment in a day, at moment of seeing, no understanding, what is true, what is real, that person has to understand that without listening carefully, there has to be ignorance. Would she or he like to be ignorant?
I think Mr. Zhao's question is, assuming a person appreciates the significance of hearing but has no familiarity with Dhamma terms, can that person still...
Is it Dhamma?
That's no the word. Point.
I understanding. I'm not sure who's... Jonathan said that, but now I said that. Seeing, no need to use the visible object because not word there, not letter there. And we can understand, as Ajahn says, how much ignorance there, because in ultimate reality, totally dark. But now nothing dark.
No matter we use the word reality or nama or rupa, no understanding.
Yes.
When Zhao mentioned, what about for those who don't have a basic understanding when they hear about seeing and visible object, and Ajahn's comment was, it's not about the words and the first step or the first stage is to know that there is no understanding. If they don't appreciate that there's no understanding, difficult to learn.
But sometimes Ajahn said, but it can be known. So we have to consider more and more about what condition for understanding.
Because it's now appearing. So it can be studied to understand the nature, the truth of it.
But when we think about the... how much basic foundation we have to learn, I think it's good or not good.
What is the basic understanding? People think, oh, I better go and listen to an easier discussion or hear more before I come and listen to Ajahn to get a basic understanding. But the basic understanding is beginning to understand about what is Dhamma? What is Dhamma now? And what is Dhamma that experiences? And what is Dhamma that is experienced? The words are not important. The Pali terms are not important. But the very basic understanding is understanding what is Dhamma. And of course, it's difficult for everyone in the beginning. But this is the basic understanding, understanding that there are just these different dhammas. We can say nama dhammas and rupa dhammas to begin to understand that there is no I from the very beginning. Otherwise, for sure, there will be the idea of what should I do, what can I do, study something before coming to this, get a basic understanding, then come and listen.
And sometimes I think about Ajahn said, think about the ignorance, how much ignorance. So sometimes I think like this. With understanding more and more and more, the darker, the world will be darker now.
And what about your question this afternoon about learning details and then being reminded it's about understanding, but then should I learn details to listen to a jhan? This is all about I. This is not the basic understanding. It's should I learn more details? Should I know the Pali terms? Should I go left or right? It's not understanding what is now. It's trying to set a rule again about how much study or... But what about now, at that moment of thinking?
I know. But sometimes I heard from Jonathan or you or somebody else say very fluently about Bali term, very, very. So I like to become like this.
Actually, I'm just like you. I forget all the terms again and again, and I never try to learn them or memorize them. And even though I've listened for so long, I forget so many terms, so many Pali points. But it doesn't matter. It is the understanding that's more important.
One more time, I would like to express my deep gratitude with you. One more time.
But Sarah, in my case, I think when I study much more details, so I think that the opportunity for understanding develop, and can that I have much more attention to reality. Like I just say, I don't know.
What do you mean by studying details?
Yeah, I like that. I like some difficult aspect or a deeper aspect, a variety of detail. I like to
understanding, so, or for I like
just for understanding of the anatta, so that I can I see when the time I give time for that like detail. So
is it studying details for collecting details,
no,
or for wise considering,
yeah,
about
no,
the
I,
Dharma?
I don't think for collecting, just for the understanding clearer about the anatta, about anatta, just that.
Well, if we are honest with ourselves, there's only a limited amount of detail that is relevant to our level of understanding. The rest of the detail is beyond our present capability to understand. That doesn't mean we shouldn't study it. If we have an interest in doing so, that's fine, as long as it doesn't become a distraction from remembering that what is important is the understanding of what is actually appearing now, rather than what might be there. We could say, whether one is studying a lot of detail or no detail, it's easy to forget that the important thing is just what is appearing at the present moment.
Like now, what is the citta now? Is it kindness or understanding or clinging, or what is the kind of citta at this very moment? Because we can read all the details about the processes and what citta arises with what dharmas, but what about at this very moment? Is there seeing now? Is there hearing? Is there thinking with annoyance now? What about understanding the citta right at this very moment? This is what is most precious, and the only way to understand dharmas as anatta. It has to be the study of the reality at this very moment, being truthful to what is actually appearing now. What about the attachment now? When one opens a book, attachment or understanding? Understanding what the truth is at this moment or that moment. Just a Dharma, not my understanding or my attachment. But there has to be more and more understanding and considering about what life is right now. Because the detail is only for understanding life now. Some people can memorize the entire Abhidhamma Pitaka, but no understanding at all. And the Buddha taught, like in the simile of the snake, the danger of just studying Abhidhamma and without true understanding, and how it can lead to madness. So it has to be the understanding at this moment. Not just, I like to have more details too. Yeah.
And of course, it's easy to justify to oneself one's getting lost in detail on the basis that it helps to see the anuttaness of everything. This is not necessarily one's true motivation, but it's a way of saying, okay, this is helpful, but one is not being fully honest with oneself at such moments. Because what is helpful in terms of actual understanding is what is appropriate for one's level of developed understanding.
Just a side comment about learning by heart, the Tipitaka. I think at the time of the Buddha, Ananda, because of his understanding, he remembers what was said, and then he recited when the council met, but because of the understanding. But today, people who learn by heart the Tipitaka, but just by memorizing, so it's not the same at all. So just a side comment when we talk about reciting or knowing by heart the Tipitaka.
Ajahn uses an expression, delirious thinking, but I haven't heard it for a while. But I was reminding Kunnavadam, we were talking about it, when one just recites the details and the Pali terms and thinks that one needs to collect more information, it's just delirious thinking. It's not understanding at all. Would you like to say any more about delirious thinking, Ajahn?
I think that when understanding how deep, how subtle reality is, so very precious to be true to the truth. For example, what appears now, see, even that, it doesn't appear as it is at all. Yes. And when will it appear as it is?
When the understanding develops firmer and firmer, enough condition for.
That's why be true to the truth. It's quite a long way, a long time, from moment to moment, to let go people and things around. Just only that which is seen.
Yeah, Ajahn, I often heard you say that the true to the truth. Could you please explain more about what you mean by true to the truth, or to be truthful to the truth?
Maybe sometimes I'm confusing on this, so maybe I say something I can feel on this. Okay, I think there are two aspects on this. One, truthful to the truth, related to the Sakyaparami. We should improve our parami, Sakya parami, for understand the truth. The second way, I think, we have to say what we understand. I mean the truth with myself. For example, now I understand little. I understand much. So maybe
it's being sincere and honest about what is true at this moment. Like if one thinks there is understanding, or that it's wise considering whenever one opens the Dharma book or studies the details, this is not being true to the truth, not being honest with what is real at this moment. What about the attachment? One can kid oneself that it's all wholesome, it's all understanding when one learns the details. But it's not being true to the truth, understanding of what is real at this moment, like ignorance. Being true to the truth means understanding it's ignorance now when memorizing the details. What about the clinging at those moments? That is being true to the true. When one asks a question, what is the motivation? Being true to the truth. So it comes back to this moment and the understanding at this moment, being true to the truth, is much more important than deciding whether one should learn more details or collecting the Pali names, for example. Being true to the truth.
Yes, so I understand that it is the moment of understanding what's the reality at that moment, at the present moment. Yeah, thank you.
When one listens and one's confused, be true to the truth. Okay, it's confusion, doubt, or just not knowing, being true rather than thinking that it's understanding and it's all clear. Like sometimes, usually when Ajahn speaks and at the end someone will say, oh, thank you very much, all clear now. Actually, it's not all clear. That is not truthful to the truth. It's just like saying, okay, I want to get out of the hot seat, but it's not being true to the truth. Yeah.
Sarah, but what about if they actually thought it was clear to them at that time? They thought it was clear, but it wasn't.
So it's not being true to the truth, because it's ignorance there. It's not understanding that it's not clear at all. So it's like kidding oneself, it's clear. Oh, thank you, it's all clear, but however sincere they speak, it's not being true to the truth, because without the understanding being developed, it is not clear at all. Or thinking that, yes, when one opens a book and learns the details, one has had an hour of Dharma study. That is not being truthful to the truth. And this is why it's deep and subtle. Where all the tears are because of understanding. This is not truthful to the truth. So it's just really being honest about what is real at this moment.
I want to learn about the dangers of akusala. Yet how about we understand that?
What is the danger of akusala?
We do many things, maybe can hurt my family or my son, or how about that we control that?
Well, I'm not sure I understand what you're saying, but that when we think of akusala, we think of akusala gama, bringing unpleasant result in the future.
Yes.
Yeah, but we all know about that. We know that already. Akusala gama brings rebirth in unhappy plane, for example.
Yes.
So what else do you want to know about the danger of akusala? It causes harm to oneself and others. It is harmful to oneself and others by its nature, whereas kusala is beneficial to oneself and to others, non-harmful to oneself and non-harmful to others.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Kusala habits accumulate. For example, if one has strong attachment, then it accumulates, builds up more and more and more. And when it's strong enough, then it leads to bad deeds. So it's the habit that develops, that accumulates. So now we talk about the Dharma for the understanding to accumulate.
What is the most dangerous kind of akusala? Do you think it's killing or stealing or something like that? Or would it be ignorance? Or would it be wrong view? Which is the most dangerous of all those?
When at part time I open in the pub for the drinking wine, or and and kill someone.
So the most dangerous kind of agusala.
A ring, why? Drinking why? When maybe you control, not control your mind, and when you go very agusala.
So yeah. Okay. So the Buddha said that wrong view is the most dangerous kind of agusala. So we need to consider why is wrong view the most dangerous of all agusala.
So we John, why didn't Buddha say ignorance instead of wrong view, the most dangerous in samsara? Yeah, why the Buddha didn't say ignorance?
Well, because he wanted to say wrong view. Because he doesn't agree with little Hung.
When there's wrong view, it leads down the wrong path and it can lead to all kinds of akusala, like one may think the all that matters in life is having a good time, never mind what harm is caused to others, never mind anything about karma because there won't be any results, there's only this lifetime, so just eat, drink and be merry and all sorts of other wrong views follow too. So it can lead to killing, stealing, fighting wars, battles, all because of wrong view.
And wrong view takes one away from the goal, whereas ignorance doesn't take one away from the goal. It just doesn't progress one toward the goal. But wrong view takes one in the wrong direction, so further away from the goal of enlightenment.
Yes, I quite agree that when lofa or dosa arises, even strongly, then panya can understand it. Yeah, I quite agree that. But why in many suttas, so many story of for people who were not already for enlightenment immediately, the Buddha always told the past life, told their past life story to calm their mind before talking about the ultimate truth. So I still think that there must be a connection between kusala and the opportunity for panya to arise. Amicus.
You said when he was teaching to someone who hadn't heard the Dhamma in the final lifetime, he always taught about their past life.
Yeah. So to calm their mind.
Well, that's not teaching about their past life. That's teaching about the law of karma and vipaka.
To calm their mind, to purify their mind before teaching the ultimate truth?
Well, I guess it's a bit like you're going to have a serious conversation. You start with something that the person can readily appreciate. If you're going to explain something that's deep and difficult, you may want to start with something that's not so deep and difficult initially. Because the teaching about realities, obviously, requires the right mindset to be appreciated. So it's a bit like being hospitable, and when someone comes, if you want to have a serious conversation, okay, you offer them some refreshment and a place to sit and so on and so forth. So it's the same with this situation. Instead of launching straight into a teaching on ultimate realities, because this person has not heard the Dhamma yet in the present lifetime.
Just a premise.
What conclusion do you draw from that, though? You said that some connection between...
Yeah.
Between what and what?
Because it seemed like that kusala, I mean... Sofana stay maybe a foundation or a premise for Panya to arise.
Well, some people heard the Dhamma and didn't need any foundation. For example, is it Sariputta? You know, he heard the Venerable Asaji speak a few words and he was able to become enlightened.
I mean, in general, for other, but not special, apart from special for people like Sariputta, Moggallamuli.
Yeah, but that proves there's no rule, there's no fixed rule here.
To read stories because they think the stories about people and situations, they don't appreciate that the purpose is the teaching about dhammas. So it's always about dhammas, no matter whether in the Jatakas or the Vinaya or anywhere else. The Buddha is talking about different dhammas, no matter what the conventional language is that is being used. So if one just reads the Jatakas like stories, like fairy tales, then it's not understanding about the dhammas that the Buddha is teaching.
She's referring to the gradual teaching of people who haven't heard the Dhamma in the lifetime, but Buddha can see that they are capable of becoming enlightened. So he starts off by talking about Kama and the Devas and the different kinds of Kusala. The sutta says, when he saw that their mind was supple and ready, he started teaching about realities.
He talked about different kinds of Kusala, even the attainment of jhanas and the heavenly realms, and then showed that it's impermanent and of no value, no use at all. So this is what people will cling to, heavenly rebirths. But what's the point? Just still impermanent dhammas. So it's all still talking about dhammas, but using the way of explanation.
Why can't he just start teaching about ultimate realities from the get-go?
Okay, let's let Ajahn add some more comments.
If there's no understanding anything right now, can there be moment of realization, the truth of whatever is now? But when there is the fully developed understanding to the degree that it can understand any moment, which is Dhamma, instantly by condition anatta, the truth of anatta is revealed, even no matter right now what is there. This is a reality. So when Panya is fully developed, it's time no one can stop it to realize the truth. So all depends on right understanding. No matter when and where and what object, no one can stop the moment of realization not to arise at all. But now, why the truth does not revealed? Because no understanding of the truth. We just talk about idea and the words and the terms, right? What is it from moment to moment? Because life exists in a moment only. So what is it now? Now and now and now. If there's no understanding, just thinking or wanting to hear about kusala or akusala, but not Dhamma. See, just only kusala or akusala. So can there be the understanding of Dhamma? That which is real, arising, falling away, the first noble truth. Who knows now? No matter seeing, hearing, thinking, is conditioned to arise and fall away instantly until Panya is developed enough. No selection, no imagination, no expectation. Suddenly, instantly, it's time for that moment of realization, the truth. Experience that object. To what degree? The moment of enlightenment. No doubt about this moment anymore, whether it's that which experiences or that which is experienced. Now, is that true? What is there now? Is that which is experienced and that which experiences no one. Is it kusala? Not just the word, but understanding the truth without attachment or desire or wishes to understand it right now, instantly. But it depends on wise considering about Dhamma. If you'd like to understand kusala, is it a Dhamma or what is it? Kusala. Just want or understand. Different moments, different realities. That's why no one can understand the virtues of the Buddha if there's no understanding of the truth of what is there right now. Buddha.
And I think that we underestimate the Buddha when the Buddha's teaching, when we think, oh, in the gradual teaching, when he's teaching about kusala and akusala, that he's not teaching about dhammas yet as anatta. From the beginning, every word he says is about dhammas, about kusala as anatta, akusala. So he's not just saying you should be good and you should develop more kusala and akusala. He's talking about the dhammas, the realities from the start. So right from the beginning, it's about understanding of dhammas, just like now.
Yes, Sarah, I agree. But from what Ajahn's saying, I can understand that now I forgot. Because the Buddha knew well the accumulation of that particular person. So that's the way he talked to that person for his enlightenment. Yeah, just that's all.
But he's talking about dhammas in the way that is appropriate for the listener.
Yes, I think it's clear. He's preparing the mind of the listener to hear about conditioned dhammas directly. What conclusion do you draw from that?
Sorry, John, but I have no idea now.
I think you started to say that you think that kusala, a necessary connection, kusala and understanding.
Yeah, but he's not saying you have to develop this kusala before you can hear about realities. No.
I agree. But maybe forgotten tomorrow. I have another question. Ajahn, when you always say that visible object just be an object of seeing, but Ajahn, I think of chuti, citta, and patisanti citta, they has three objects. I don't know the name of it. But at that time, there must be a sound and a color, but it's not the sound and color that is the object of us, of seeing and hearing. It's just a kind of nimitta, like in samatha. I think of samatha, of one who develops samatha, when, for example, he has the object with white skeleton, bộ xương trắng phải white skeleton gì. So he can see a beautiful woman, but he open his mind, see, or close his eyes, but he can see white skeleton. But that kind of nimitta also in the, and also that color. But and I think of in the case of chuti citta and patisanti citta, like that kind of not same. Because Ajahn often say that, so okay, about the object of patichutisutta and patisutta, like now.
Yeah, it's a sign, nimitta.
A sign.
Yeah, conditioned by past karma. But it's not color, it's not visible object.
No,
he's not seeing. It's an image that comes to the mind.
And when thinking about the color and the sign, is there any understanding of the truth now?
Just curiosity,
yes. So this is the point. So what about the truth at this moment? Curiosity. What is the Dhamma when it's curiosity about this detail?
I think her curiosity was whether visible object could be the object of a citta other than seeing consciousness.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
That.
Yeah. So it's not visible object, it's a sign, it's a mental image.
Can there be this moment right now?
Yes.
What object?
I don't know, because
no one knows. Just now. The object before this.
Just now. You always say just now, but just so I think.
But the death moment has the same object as Patisanthicitta and Pavanga. Never change. That last moment in life is conditioned by the same karma which conditioned Patisanthi and Pavanga. That's why the same object of birth is the same object of Pavanga and the same object of death. But the next moment, what's the object of the birth of next life? Depending on the last object before death of this life. Right now, death is there. What object is there right now? It's the object of birth of next life.
You say just like now, so that's why I confused.
No one knows. No one knows. Even right now, so many objects, many moments of citta. That's why who knows what is the object right now, before death.
Or it could be thinking about a skeleton now. Could be any object. Could be sound, it could be visible object, could be any object.
I'm not clear, but I will consider more about this. Thank you, Ajahn.
Jonathan just mentioned that the object of the jutti or bhavanga conditioned by the karma, right? And how about the citta? Also conditioned the same from the same karma as well?
I said the citta in the process before jutti, where the sign appears, is conditioned by karma. The citta and its object are conditioned by karma. That same object becomes the object of the subsequent patisanti citta.
The patisanti citta, right, and the bhavanga, next bhavanga, and the object, are they all conditioned by the past karma?
Well, they're vipaka cittas.
No, I mean the object.
I don't know whether we would say that or not.
Same object as those last jhavana cittas, exactly the same object. And like Ajahn said, if death comes now, what is there just before death? It can be any object experience, thought of the trees or thought of good deeds one's done. So those are just special names that are given for the object before death, but it's actually just like now. If death were to come now, what is the object of experience? Thinking about Dharma or thinking about the lunch today, whatever the object, it can be any object.
For example, if the karma is the object, right, the karma as the object, then the patisandhicitta at that moment, are they the same karma or different?
So the object that's experienced by the last jhavana cittas is the object of the following patisandhicitta, exactly the same object. So it depends on what karma conditions those last moments, and it will produce the following patisandhi, the object which will experience that same object. It can be any karma from the past, like Devadatta's deed, that karma conditions the next patisandhi.
Can, for example, be a sign of the next plane of birth.
Yeah, I got that point, but okay, keep it simple way that is the object of the patisandhicitta conditioned realities or what?
Concept.
Or can be anything.
I think what you meant is because there can be three kinds of object for those last jhavana cittas, karma or karma nimitta or gati nimitta. So he was asking in case the object is karma, right? It was your question.
Yeah, the ila. Yeah, I mean, and the citta experiencing it, are they conditioned from the same karma? Because they are all the same on the whole life until the jutti.
Whatever is the object of those Javana Chitta will be the object of the next Patisandhi Chitta.
When we say, oh, object is like karma, it's like now that can be reflecting on some good deed done or understanding, or there can be reminder about seeing or hearing that were conditioned by karma, not thinking, but actually the seeing or hearing is a result of karma.
Oh, can
I think
I say
it's just like now, any object.
Can I say something like this? What make the object of the Patisandhi the same for the whole life? Any condition or just as it is?
Any past karma from any time conditions that Patisandhi, and the object of it is the object of those last Javana Chittas before death, just the way it is. Anything you would like to add, Ajahn?
What object is there now? That after Jyoti Chitta, can it arise now?
Yes, Ajahn.
And before Jyoti Chitta, is there a moment of experiencing the object?
Yes.
What object?
Maybe seeing or hearing.
Who knows? Right now, there can be Jyoti Chitta any moment.
And they are not
that's
reality.
It's an idea. It can be a concept about a tree or concept. Any idea. Reality or concept. It can be visible object. It can be tree. It can be any object at all.
What if reality is like the visible object?
Can be, yes.
Then the nimitta of it
because
will be...
Because after the Javana Chittas, there can be Jyoti Chitta, any object. So those names are just names that are given because referring to the object just before death, but it can be any object like now.
No, but for example, visible object at the example, right? Then are they become the concept of it, meaning the nimitta of it to be the object of the Patisandhi or just
clarify, the last javana before death are always in the mind door, right? The mind door processes, or can it be also sense door processes?
Like now, who knows so when there will be death moment.
So now in an eye door process, there can be just three javana chittas and then death coming. So then the object is visible object.
Or fortuitous because it's conditioned by karma, past karma. So obviously the gati nimitta is not an object just like now at all. It's a completely different kind of object. So past karma has a role to play. The fact that the Jyoti Chitta can come at any moment doesn't mean that it could come in the midst of a sense door process like this, because karma has to condition that javana process.
Oscar John.
Do we have to use the word javana? We don't know what javana now experienced the object. But we just talk about the truth. Seeing is the result of karma, right? It experienced the object. Can there be death moment after the process of seeing?
Yes.
Any object. Unknown object, because now you don't know what the object is.
Yeah. Obviously, if it's a thought about the future or the future object or whatever, then obviously it's in the mind door. But it doesn't have to be. It can be any object in any process.
And Patisandhi Chitta is vipaka, right? And Jyoti Chitta is vipaka. So it's conditioned by karma. But the karma which conditioned Patisandhi Chitta is not the one which conditioned Jyoti Chitta.
Yes.
So right now, seeing is conditioned by karma. The object of seeing can be the object of seeing or hearing. Any object unknown. But there must be the object of conditioned by karma. That's why when it's the result of akusala karma, it can be moment thinking about moment of killing the object or the knife or the gun or whatever beyond anyone can control at all, depending on karma to condition such object.
a sudden recollection of some past deed, good or bad.
But if it's immediately after the sense door process, then no time for that. It's just...
There has to be a javana process conditioned by karma before the judicitta, as I understand it.
We see many things. What karma condition seeing to see this? So before death, the object is the object, the condition by karma.
I am wondering, because the word karma in the first case as object suggests that it's about a karma either performed in the past or at that moment. So that's kind of like a concept rather than a reality like visible object or sound. Because if it's just sound, how it is called karma as object.
Also, when we say the last javana process conditioned by karma, don't we mean the karma that's going to condition the next rebirth?
And I think that when one says, okay, by conditioned by karma, so like seeing is conditioned by karma, and seeing has to experience an object, so we can say that the visible object is indirectly conditioned by the seeing because it's the object of seeing which is conditioned by karma. When Ajahn has explained it to me before, of any object, so it's not, it doesn't have to be the direct result of karma that is the object.
You might think of heaven, imagine, see, at that moment, can there be death after that thought, thinking about it, by conditions.
One time when we were discussing this, you were also talking about, well, conditioned by karma, because chetana is arising at each moment, so also conditioning the citta and cetasika, so it's quite an intricate topic.
But this santicitta is vipaka of one karma, ready to condition patisanticitta in this world or other world, depending on karma. So at moment when it's the moment for what karma to arise before death, it conditions the moment of experiencing something pleasant or unpleasant to be object of attachment or kusala. If one think about Dhamma discussion here, so very moment of understanding, see, the object can be anything, but it's the result of that karma which understanding Dhamma right now. So the patisanticitta, conditioned by that karma, experience the object no matter what, but it conditioned kusala citta before death. Experience that object, which is the object conditioned by karma. To experience the object. So we learn about what is what, condition, this and that. There must be object of patisanticitta, and there must be the citta experience the object before death. So what can be the object of patisanticitta? It's only that which experienced before death can be the object of patisanticitta, conditioned by karma to have such. Yeah, it's time for karma to think or to see or to hear, depending on conditions.
When we talk about the last javana process conditioned by karma, is it referring to the karma that will condition the next rebirth?
The citta before this is kusala or akusala, also depending on object that it experienced too. when it is the time for akusala karma to condition the birth, which is akusala vipaka, at that moment, who knows? It can be thinking or seeing or whatever about the object which conditioned the akusala citta to arise. And how come khatis nimitta at that moment? What is there as the place to be born? Heaven or hell? The fire of then hell, or the present object in hell, in heaven? Who knows? Depending on karma. To have kusala citta or akusala citta before this.
One way I've read about it is, it's like the kusala or akusala cittas before death are like the means for the karma to bring the result by way of birth following. So it's like the conduit for karma.
They are conditioned by that karma.
To experience that particular object. It's the way that the birth will be conditioned.
But the object now can be object of birth of next life, right now, depending on kusala citta or akusala citta, which one karma, kusala karma or akusala karma, condition that moment to experience the present or unpleasant object. Upa nisya pachya.
Upanisya pachya, then karma cannot bring its result. So it's actually pakatu upanisya pachya that conditions the kusala or akusala cittas just before death, which are essential for karma to bring its result by karma pachya.
Would you like to know what is the object of birth next life right now? It has to be know what object is there right now before this. That is not known.
Ajahn, about the 12 sambandhichana patichana cái gì, the 12 dependent origination. We know that Ayuhana condition the patisanti citta, this life, and also seeing, hearing, touching, smelling now, but some of that vipaka, and we don't know anything about that. You mean the ayuhana condition the birth, the patisanti this life is also condition vipaka during this life. See, through seeing, hearing, smelling like now, but some of these
patisanti citta is a result of past karma, and all the karma that can bring results during that life at the moment of birth are ayuhana. So the karma of the past that conditioned that patisanti citta can condition other vipaka cittas during life, like seeing or hearing. We don't know which or what or how many, but it definitely conditions the bhavanga cittas because they're the same as patisanti. But it can condition other, must be kusala vipaka cittas, because if it's this realm, then it's kusala vipaka at birth, so kusala karma that brought that patisanti. So it can bring other vipakas. We have no idea what or how many. We can't say, no. This is an example, even when you're not attending the discussions and following life, still considering about Dhamma. So it doesn't mean that because you weren't here for 2 years, no considering at all.
In addition to the bhavanga, say bhavanga citta may have a two root or three root. For example, as Ajahn mentioned, if understanding at the moment of then this understanding then die, the Patisandhi will have a three root with understanding. So my question is, are there any difference between the people with the two root or three root, or just the nature because of the past karma, just the nature of how is this, or any support from the understanding in the Bhavanga?
Yes, it affects the understanding during life, so there cannot be the same degree of understanding. If two roots rather than three roots, we know that those with two roots cannot be enlightened, cannot attain jhana, but even understanding the truth, understanding dhammas, cannot be as much understanding.
Two roots cannot enlighten in this life?
Not enlightened, but also can there be even enough understanding to understand the discussion here? Who knows?
But how about the level of the tư niệm xứ là gì nhỉ? Sati, Japatana, or kind of other, not enlightened, but can there be such level of understanding?
Who can say? Who can say?
Okay.
I think the texts say that only those with three roots can attain the vipassana jnana and enlightenment, but not with two roots.
Vipassana jnana is higher than the satipatthana. Satipatthana possible, right?
It's pativeda, and satipatthana is patipati.
Oh, yeah. Tức là
just speculation, but maybe we'll hear the discussions, but no accumulations to develop understanding. But we can't say, it's just speculation. I don't know if Ajahn would like to add anything else.
Without the development of understanding from now, can there be a little more understanding at level of intellectual understanding? Just we talk about birth and death and the object of birth and death, see? To let go the idea of self or atta, to understand deeper and deeper the anatta-ness of all dhammas. That's why this is only intellectual understanding, but it has to be very firm confidence of the truth. Just consider, are we now in darkness or in light? See what is true, what is real, what is a little more the development of understanding to understand whatever appears now does not appear as it is. Firm confidence. This is intellectual level of understanding, the noble truth. Firm confidence.
If one's just trying to work out the details and one's just getting confused, then is it any satchanyana, is it any understanding of Dharma now which will lead to more confidence or just lead to more confusion and doubt and speculation?
I think after that it can lead to wise reflection. Not now, but later.
Wise consideration now leading to more wise consideration.
Yeah.
Because confusion now, does confusion lead to wise consideration or wise consideration now?
Right.
Otherwise, okay, let's have lots of confusion and doubt and then have the wise consideration later. What about now? That's the being truthful to the truth now.
Who can imagine what appears now does not appear as it is? See, just only that. How firm confidence. It appears as many people around, it does not appear as it is.
I just make me think about the kuchisita of my father. Yes, it's attachment. I wonder what can be the last object, because he's lost his conscious about like 3 hours before he completely died. And so can you explain about the case as people like lost conscious? What kind of object can be?
Can you know next moment?
No, I cannot. Nobody knows.
Next moment is death.
Yeah, it's always possible.
And there must have been cheetahs. We say conventionally, no consciousness. But still cheetahs arising and experiencing objects before death. Like when someone's in a coma and they say, oh, no consciousness. But actually, one cheetah after another, we have no idea about the object. And it depends on past karma, what the object experienced will be. So we can't say, oh, there was no consciousness, so nothing experienced. There must have been cheetahs experiencing an object right until death.
And in coma, it's like in deep sleep. It should be Bhavanga Chitta, right?
Not just Bhavanga Chittas, because there are still moments of hearing, moments of bodily experience, and so on. Not just deep sleep.
Coma can respond to external stimuli.
Sorry, maybe I didn't understand your question.
I just said people who are in a coma can still respond to stimulus from outside. Like if you squeeze their hand, they may respond, or if you speak very loudly, they may show some kind of response.
It's possible, but not sure.
Not sure.
Like my friend, I was telling hi at lunchtime. I had another close friend who I was with, who had a near drowning, and worse than passing away, she was in a coma for 7 years. And when I used to visit her, she would squeeze my hand even in the coma, and I would take a couple of friends to give her massages, and her feet and her hands would relax. And so even though no speech, no sign of recognition, and most of the time the eyes closed, but still experiencing of sense objects, still thinking.
Yes, I once visited one of my father's friend, and he was in a coma and couldn't move or anything at all, and looking from outside, like no sign of you know, knowing anything. But then I started to just talking to him, because I was one of the people who were there before he went into coma. And then after a while, I started seeing tears coming out from his eyes. So we don't know.
Actually, just the same with my friend. When I would visit her, every time I'd get up and say, oh, I'm leaving now, would be tears in her eyes. But her husband, he never saw anything like it, but whenever I went to leave, there'd be tears in her eyes. So one has no idea. No idea can be any object before death, just like now.
About the tears, I heard the teaching, the explanation, right, that the tear is mostly go with dosa, right?
Sad that her visitor is leaving, or it was just when I would say, I'd hold her hand, say, I'm leaving now, and then tears, yes, medusa at that moment.
2 hours before my father passed away, Mai and Hai visit my father, and Mai report me that he's gone already, very far away. We cannot know where he is, where he was at that time.
Even when it's someone who seems that they are fully conscious, we have no idea about the last moments at all. None at all. No idea whether it's attachment or understanding or thinking of skeletons or anything else. No idea at all. But the main thing is you did your very best to help and show kindness, and I'm sure it was appreciated. And it's a reminder, it can be now, can be any time. Understanding is so precious because it's not lost, it accumulates, and the good deeds and the kindness accumulate.
I think sometimes we feel that, say if the person's still conscious, that there can be ways of encouraging the person to have kusala citta or something. So there's kusala citta just before death, so therefore it'll be a happy rebirth. But kamma is much stronger than any kind of encouragement we can give. So it's past kamma is going to determine the destiny in the next life. It happens just in a flash.
It's quite often in Vietnam, I know that there is a service to support death, that people come and pray together. Chợ tử, mọi người niệm, hồn niệm trước khi mất. Yeah, very strong way. Yes.
Ideas. But when the family come on, they recite, it may just be a condition for attachment, we don't know.
So even for the person in a coma, there could still be a happy rebirth next time because of past karma. It supersedes all the conditions that are applying at the time of death in this life.
Anyway, we know that even if next life, it will be a happy rebirth, but as long as there is ignorance, won't be long, long, you know, in samsara, and there will be lives in lower realms for sure. So I think no need to think much too much about that. Can I resume what I understood is correct or not? So it depends to karma and the object of the last citta. Does it decide for the next life? Right.
Of the jittas in the last jhavana process. Yeah.
Thank you.
Coming back to John's last point about that the last moment of before death, regardless of any kind of encouragement, like you just mentioned, that the karma will decide, right? Will make its it will decide where the rebirth will be like. My question is, how come I've heard this, but I'm not sure whether I heard it correctly. Certain, like in life just now, with accumulation, with the habit, people may make certain decisions that make good or bad karma to have opportunity to give result. And say, for example, you know, people choose to do a committed crime, say, for example, then they may be in prison. I mean, I'm talking about a situation here, but I know there must be realities in order to have such situation. Then if someone committed a crime, choose to commit a crime or do wrongdoing, then they ended up being in a situation where there would be a lot of, you know, bad karma giving result. So back to the point I mentioned earlier, with people, you know, surround, helping the person, talking about, remind them about good deeds, you know, they did in life and things like that. Would that, I mean, you said no, it wouldn't help in any way. But now I'm thinking there may be a chance because, you know, according to what I've just mentioned.
I said you can't guarantee anything, but it's always good to encourage kusala in another person. So if you want to encourage kusala at the end of the life, that's a good thing, if it's possible. But how do you encourage kusala in someone?
I've been told that, you know, for example, my other tradition, they remind them about, you know, good deeds they did throughout their life. And they may be
joy, you know, like joyful when they
well, whether are they respond to that with kusala or akusala is
So there's no guarantee.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it could be that.
Just happy feeling. Nothing to do with kusala.